The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, we've seen that man there, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Mike Catherwood, you go crazy.
Showtime!
This is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Loveline.
Loveline with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood.
Yeah, buddy.
That's right, buddy.
Yeah,
that's
buddy.
That's right, buddy.
You live.
Who's your daddy, bitch? Oh, you live. Yes!
That's right.
Why'd you grab that box of condoms?
Because I'm going to use one to put my gum in.
Oh, I see. Condoms o'plenty.
We have a gigantic jug o' condoms.
You've got condom excess.
No. You know what? There's no such thing as condom excess, because having too many condoms, one too many, no. One too few.
Yes, it's a disaster.
Doesn't make up for hundreds too many.
You're right. It's like not wear your seatbelt. So tonight, the open forum, I believe, is marriage necessary to raise kids? How important is marriage?
And if we take one call that is people who explain to us that it's not literally necessary.
No, I understand.
I'm going to kill the phone screener.
But it's a response to the
then
fact
I'm gonna kill you.
That the gay community just fought very hard to get the privilege to be married.
Right.
And heterosexuals seem to squander the privilege and, of course, rarely succeed at and typically divorce and now are taking it even more lightly. So is it necessary to
that
raise kids?
That was the most disappointing kind of socially based conversation I've ever had on the radio on Friday.
When the
Supreme Court and the heels of the Supreme
Court.
Oh,
some of the things people are saying. Yeah, that was hard.
Qualifying and legitimizing same-sex marriage.
Yeah, some of the stuff we heard was pretty wacky.
I said, call up if you're against it.
Did you hear more after I left?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Nonsense.
Yeah. A lot of weird Bible thumping.
You know, gay sex creates disease.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
oh
no,
my God, no,
that's not true at all.
This guy was obsessed with the idea of feces killing people. Obsessed. Remember? Mm-hmm. Well, don't you? When you put
you
your,
understand it?
No,
feces in your genitals.
No, he did not have an ethnic kind of flavor.
Stop it, liberal.
But listen, he goes.
He so did.
He goes. When you put your penis in, you pull it back out. What do you got? What do you got there? What's on there?
And I was like, poop.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, well that, and everyone knows that causes urinary infection, causes disease, causes hepatitis C. I was like, oh no, come on.
Said, you know,
come on.
Plenty of straight guys get poop on the pee-pee often.
I don't want to hear about your habits.
And I said, me being one of them.
He ignored that completely.
By the way, I had a handful of poop this weekend. Hands
from your daughter.
Like
that's your daughter.
Like if you dug your hands in sand.
Yeah.
And both hands like and like. Offering someone up, my hands both just completely full with poo.
Because
I was giving my sweet, sweet daughter a bath.
Yeah.
And she just decided that was the time for her to fill up that tub with diarrhea.
This is your time.
Yeah. And she looks at me all smiling. Here I go, Dad. Here I'm pooing. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. And, of course, you know, a bathtub has a drain for water.
No, well, not handle that.
Perhaps suds.
No, you're...
But
you're,
not you, big chunks of poo.
Anne's laughing. Producer Anne's laughing because...
Yeah, she has children, yes.
Yeah, because poo stops having... Your children's poo has no meaning.
Well, no, and then I cleaned it up and cleaned my hands up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, to the elbow, like I was going to give surgery.
Yeah.
And then I walked back in the other room after Magnolia went to sleep, and I looked at Bianca, and I said, that's it. I'm all in now. Like, there's no...
You've done it.
Like I have.
You know that story about the getting the poo in my hair.
Do you understand? Like
walking around the world with the poo in my hair story.
Yeah.
It's good.
But my point is like you come to that moment. Like there's those moments where it's like, because if 2 years ago, prior to the birth of my child, anyone said, well, we're just going to fill your hands up with human poo.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'd be like, well, am I being tortured? What? I don't know. But. It's just like those moments you realize, like after the birth of your child, it's like you don't even flinch. It's like, oh, well, here we go. I'm picking up poo. I have the same feeling that would probably happen in 30 years if, you know, heaven forbid, my mom or dad got to the point where they're, you know what I'm saying? You just don't think about it. You're like, well, I guess here it goes.
You would make that correlation because as a physician, you kind of go to that same spot.
Yeah.
Which is like, you got to do this.
Yeah.
That's all. Just do it.
But yet, if anyone else on the planet, they're like, hey, real quick, could you just pick up a log of my poop?
Yeah.
Well, wait, what's our deal here?
It's interesting. Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is I'd say yes if you just promised to film it. Hello,
Bobby.
Bobby.
First of all, you guys live.
You live very
you
much.
You live, I know.
Okay, my question is for Dr. Drew. I have a big issue. Every time I masturbate or every time my girlfriend masturbates for me, I get severe headaches.
And only when you're stimulating with your hand, is that right?
With my hand or it's with her pleasuring me herself.
Bobby, with her hand.
But what if you have intercourse?
Every now and then with intercourse, but mostly with our, with my hand or when she's doing it for me.
Okay. Is there anything unusual about that experience? That could it, are you hyperventilating? Are you bearing down real hard? Is there anything else that's happening that we should know about?
I'm drinking plenty of fluid.
No, no, that's not what I asked.
I think what Dr. Drew means is like when you use hands.
Try to understand why that's different.
Is it a lot longer a period of time from oral and sex, or is it a lot shorter? Is it are you typically sitting up instead of lying down? You know what
are
I'm saying?
Is breathing
what
hard?
What differentiates it?
Yeah.
It's taking quite longer.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something to keep an eye on, right? Maybe you can shorten things up a little bit, number one. Number two, postcoital headaches are kind of common, but it is worth having it evaluated by a doctor to make sure it's not something more serious, though it typically isn't. It occasionally could be. You certainly want to catch that if it is something like an aneurysm or bleeding, right? That's kind of stuff, which is unlikely. Okay?
Is what would happen when we would do this, it's like when I start getting the intense headache, I tell her, no more, we're gonna quit.
Hey, did you hear anything Bobby like said? Bobby, did you hear anything Drew said?
Should I repeat it?
I would like him to.
Okay, I'm going to repeat it.
Okay, this time listen.
You need to go see a doctor. They're typically not serious. Postcoital headaches happen a lot, but they can be, in rare cases, a sign of something more serious. You need to go see the doctor, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good, Bobby.
Good. I wonder how many times we'd have to do it before he would have listened if we didn't, like...
You know, I don't remember in years past, Anderson, back me up on this, in years past on Loveline, people just not listening when I'm talking. Is that me?
I do as a listener.
When the years gone by?
Yeah. Right. But there was way more, certainly during the Corolla years, there was way more reciprocity of you guys not listening.
What do you mean?
Like, you guys were also actively not listening a lot of the times. But when,
first of all, how dare you?
No, and not because you're not weren't interested. It's just because, like, Adam had a bone to pick with air or something. You know what I'm saying?
I had to focus on him.
Yeah. Hello, Stu.
Hey, guys. Adam, true. You live.
Hey. Yeah, thanks.
You live.
Got mandate.
What's up?
Hey, so kind of a weird situation. So I've been with this girl for about 2 years now. Last 6 months, everything's kind of gone downhill financially, emotionally, everything like that. I've been trying for a couple months to break up with this girl, but she is one of the most emotionally unstable people that I know. She has really bad anxiety. She has to take medicine for it. She goes to bi-weekly therapy sessions, stuff like that. And I also live with the girl. Rather, she lives with me.
Uh-oh.
So other than just straight ripping the Band-Aid off, I don't know how to get out of this.
Is she going to continue to live with you after you break up?
Well, I brought up the idea of breaking up and the idea of her also moving out at the same time because her parents live in town, so she can just go live back with them.
Yeah.
I brought up the idea to her, and she just shut down like she usually do. If we have any kind of conversation like that, she'll break down into tears, uncontrollable.
Can you move out?
Anxiety, and she has,
can you move out?
I'm sorry?
Can you move out?
I can. She wouldn't. I'm the only one on the lease in my apartment. I have a place that I could stay, which I thought of doing, just packing up, doing it, leaving for a couple of days and telling her she has until this point to get her stuff
gone.
Oh,
yeah, I think this will go on longer than a couple of days.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly how to do this.
Yeah.
I think you got to, huh? It sucks. I think you have to kind of rip the Band-Aid off.
Well, and you might want to alert her therapist and or even ask for some advice from the therapist. Call and say, you know, listen, I understand if you can't call me back or if you can't speak to me at all for confidentiality reasons, but here's what I'm dealing with and here's what I'm going to do. And get the help of the people who are responsible for her well-being and feelings. not you, and do what you got to do. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, this is, does she want you to stay out of pity, or is that she just cannot manage the idea of anything, anybody leaving?
I think it's a little bit of both. She one, doesn't want me to leave. She just graduated high school last year. She's seen all of her friends get married and everything like that. Every time she brings up the idea and I kind of shut it down because marriage isn't exactly something I'm looking for right now.
Yeah.
She tries to guilt me into it. So I think it's a little bit of both pity and the fact that she feels like she needs that person there to be with her.
But have you ever had the conversation with, like, I don't want to be married. I don't want to be married to you. I don't want to even be in a relationship with you.
I'm 22, woman.
Yeah. How do you feel, you know, how does it feel to continue to manipulate and extort me into this? What do you think she'd say?
We haven't had a conversation that far into it. I have brought up the conversation of breaking up with her.
Right, you're going to have to be much more clear. You made it sound like, listen, I've tried everything and she clings and won't. No, you have to be very clear. You can't drop hints. That is not going to work.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
Okay.
Only
drop loads. No dropping hints.
No hints.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Is marriage necessary to procreate? Give us a call. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
After a Loveline, the craziest question.
What's the craziest question you've ever gotten on Loveline?
Back with more Loveline in a bit.
This is Dr. Drew for True Car. Everyone is talking about transparency these days, a word you hear a lot, because people want it. So when it comes to making a big purchase, like perhaps buying a new car, you expect some transparency in the buying process. This is a process that gives you the confidence to know you're getting the fair deal, right? So you can really look at all the details. To understand the power of transparency, you need to check out True Car and True Car's mobile app. True Car not only can configure the car you want and how you want it, but you can see what others actually paid for the same car you're looking for. Down to the zip code, so right in your area, you see the very same car. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent, right? And once you decide on that car, you can lock in guaranteed savings on an average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you're connected with a trusted TrueCar certified dealer that will honor your savings without any negotiation, no shenanigans. So when you're ready for a new, transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, and never overpay, download the TrueCar app today.
Yeah, man. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Hello, James. Thank you for calling Loveline.
Hello.
Yes.
What's going on?
I have a question about...
Get us off speakerphone.
Yeah,
get us
I
off
can't
speakerphone.
Hear a damn thing.
Put the phone right to your mouth.
Yes, I'm driving. Yeah, I'm driving. All right. Yeah.
Are we losing him? Lost him.
You would have hated this guy anyway.
You don't live.
I guarantee you would have probably killed him. He was with two women, and he doesn't like the pregnant one.
Oh,
what
yes.
should I do?
Oh, yeah. This guy's a jewel.
Hello, Drew.
How's it going?
What up, yo?
What's up?
Yeah, I have a question about pro hormones.
Yes.
What's your take on it? Like,
they're rape.
Do they really work? Or
no.
I mean, they work, but it's not worth it. Just what's your? How old are you? 20?
Yeah, 20.
What do you need pro hormones for?
What happened?
What do you need pro hormones for?
Well, I'm trying to get bigger. I've been lifting for 5 years, so I want to see. I don't want to take steroids. Pro hormones you can buy legally. So
yeah. So but they don't work as well, and they're just as damaging.
Not about justice, Dan.
Not about justice, yeah. Well, it depends on... Well, honestly, maybe, if you look at the right steroids.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not... You're talking about Anadrol and D-ball. I mean, yeah. That wrecks you. But
yeah.
A little Anavar, shot at test every week. It's probably a lot healthier than some wacky GNC BS.
Just because the dosing is... Oh, it depends how they took it, I guess, and how much they took.
Anyway, stop. Lift, train harder, eat better.
Yeah.
Does it mess with your hormones though? That's the one thing. Like, does it take like a? They recommend like a PCT after.
No, they don't. They recommend a PCT, not PCP.
Yeah. No, I know. I said.
I would recommend PCP.
But listen, who's recommending this?
Just some guy at a NutriShop that I always talk to.
Don't listen to him. Yeah. Just stop it. You're 20 years old. If you want to get bigger, lift more and eat more.
You ask, do you mess up your hormones? Yeah, to the extent that this has pharmacological effect, you sure do. That's why people with steroids have all kinds of medical problems, right? So if you're taking enough
These are legal. What are you selling over the counter then?
It's all kinds of things you can take over the counter that will kill you. All kinds. But be that as it may, are they encouraging you to take big doses of this? The pro-hormones? All right.
Just don't take it.
It's certainly not healthy.
Literally don't take it, okay? You called and asked for advice. Don't. It's not worth it, and you're 20. Jesus, what I would do to be 20.
Right.
Just lift. I guarantee you lift like a pussy, and you don't eat enough.
I do actually eat enough.
What?
I go to school. I'm a nutrition, that's why.
Okay, I know, you're wrong. If you eat more than you intake, or excuse me, eat more than you burn, you will gain weight. And if you lift properly, you will gain muscle. That'll happen. It's not going to happen like overnight. Even if you did use steroids, it takes a long time. Put your nose to the grind and work for it. And don't be a bitch. That's my number one piece of advice.
Well, again, if somebody is so concerned about that appearance, that looking huge, that they are willing to...
Getting big's easy.
Yeah, but they're willing to damage themselves and risk their health.
But well, it's still a little counter.
Yeah.
This is coming from a guy who at his age was using steroids, real steroids. Yeah. I get it. I get the desire. But don't come here with, I've been lifting for 5 years and I can't get big. Getting big's very simple. We eat 10 times more than you're eating right now and lift heavy. Do 3 lifts, maybe some power cleans too. Do the power lifts and shut up.
But you know what they see. They see these other guys leaping past them.
Of course. And then they end up going in and doing some curls and some cable crossovers.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm not getting big. Why don't you get the over counter?
Yeah.
And here's another thing. Instagram has been the bane of the existence of anyone who trains hard.
Why?
In any field.
Why?
Because now you have every guy with man boobs who works at T-Mobile going, here's me beast mode.
Yeah.
You're like, you're not beast mode. You wear a polo and you sell cell phones. Shut up. Shut your goddamn mouth. You're deadlifting 190 pounds.
But not you, Brandon. You talk.
Hello, Brandon.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew and Mike? This is Brandon from Seattle. How are you?
Fine. How are you, sir?
So, we have a situation. Our friend was, we were at a wedding this weekend, and we found out actually one of our other friends, a girl, it's complicated. So, okay. His fiance tried to hook up with one of our friends, and our friend has a baby with her. And then after learning about this, we were looking at their child, and it looks like, I never thought about it, but it looks like it might be her.
Call Murray
her
Bovis.
Bosses and
wait a minute. Wait, we can't. I need a diagram of this.
So, I'd prefer English.
So you have a couple that are engaged, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So here's the deal.
No, listen to me. You're going to have to square it away from me. You have a couple that's engaged, right?
Yep.
Okay. And
correct.
When is the marriage going to happen?
Their marriage is not going to happen for a year.
Okay, a year. And has their relationship been going okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Just answer my questions.
I think we're twisted around a little bit.
No, hold on. No, we're not.
Okay.
And right. Now she tried to hook up with one of your other friends, right?
No. We have a friend that tried to hook up to one of the engaged couple's fiance. We have a friend that tried to hook up with that engaged male. That girl is a good friend's baby mama, and they've been together for multiple years. Like, we're talking 6, 7 years.
but they have a kid that's almost one.
Okay. And?
So basically, she tried to actually, like, it actually came out the day after the wedding that.
What wedding? What wedding?
Some
random
wedding that we were at.
Okay, okay. Random wedding. Okay.
She tried to actually pull that person aside to, like, hook up with him. And she told him straight up. And he was a stand-up guy, and he came at us and was like, whoa, dude, she tried to hook up with me. And
the presumption and now is that maybe his, her, whose baby now looks like him?
Yeah, exactly. It's getting real twisty, exactly. So basically, that girl...
Yeah,
that we think that was trying to hook up with that one, the engaged guy.
Yeah,
she had the baby with our good friend.
I think I'm gonna kill myself.
Known as Sean.
So she hasn't. So this couple that's going to get married has a child.
No, they're out of the equation. They're all that they were just an engaged couple. That the girl.
Well, what's the question? What can we do for you, sir? What can we help you with? Just feel like, let's just focus on what we could help you with.
Okay. So basically, what we're trying to figure out is, do I come at my really good friend that I've known since a child? Do I say, hey, like, you know, try to be like a good friend and be like, hey, I honestly, things happened at this wedding that she crossed the line, and I need to tell you because I don't want to be that guy and then all of a sudden, like, you know, I could see him being pissed off enough to where he doesn't even like want to hear what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But we also are looking at their pictures of his kid, and we never thought that he looked like her.
Who's
he looks like her boss.
This is the part I don't get, whose kid this is. But anyway, we get the implication of what you're saying. But all right, so does he tell the friend or not, Mike?
I don't think so.
If you do, because you don't have any direct knowledge, you only have this one guy's sort of version of it.
And if you're not positive, you can't even if you're even 1% not positive, you can't wreck a marriage. You can't. It's just like, especially when there's kids involved.
Unfortunately, cheaters game on that. They gamble that's going to be the case.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I get where you're coming from, but it's also not... It's not like your mom or something, you know what I'm saying? Or not like your daughter.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I understand you want to be a good friend, but it's really, unfortunately, if you just look at it on paper, none of your business.
And you'll be surprised how often if you do get in the middle of a friend and a potential spouse or fiance, you become the problem, even when you're trying to do good.
Hello, Brad.
Yes.
What up, yo?
Yes, hi, Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for 5 years, and I just recently found out from my doctor that I've contracted a couple of STDs from him.
Which ones?
And
what have you contracted?
Chlamydia and gonorrhea.
You got both? Wait, hold on a second. Both chlamydia and gonorrhea simultaneously?
I'm not sure if they're simultaneous or not.
Does anybody else have a problem with this?
How is that possible? If you got them, if you have them currently, both.
You say you had them. What do you mean? Hang on. What did you go to the doctor complaining of? And in what sequence?
Well, my penis was burning when I urinated.
Okay, so they tested you then, and when the test came back, they did a swab?
Yes, that's correct.
What is the girl in the background chatting about?
She was just a friend of mine.
Yeah, this is not a real call. If it is, then this guy's bad brain damage or is developmentally disabled and he needs...
That's not true.
Okay, all right,
wait.
All right.
So let's...
That's
let's
not
just...
true. It is a real call.
Okay, so Brad,
then you have gonorrhea on your dick.
So you had treatment. You had treatment. And it's all cleared now. Okay, and...
No, I'm currently being treated.
Well, the treatment...
What do they make you do?
My MD gave me antibiotics.
Yes, right. And it clears it up very quickly. That's fine.
But it's only been 5 days, so should I stay with this guy that I've invested money and time with or not?
Well, why don't you ask him about the STDs first? Right? And by the way, he needs to be treated too. He needs to be treated.
I just think that maybe you guys are looking at this a lot more simply than it really is.
No,
he's cheating and he gave you an STD and that sucks. But you're asking us to make a major life decision for you, which we won't. But I would at least give him a chance, first of all, to get treatment. The guy needs treatment. And to give you an explanation, hopefully an honest one, of what's going on. Right? Isn't that where you go next to find out what the facts are?
Yeah, but what I was hoping for was an alternative. Is there another way that this could have possibly happened?
Not unless you're having sex with somebody else.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. So
what? The two diseases he mentioned, it couldn't possibly come from anything like IV drug use.
No, that's putting your penis in something.
Okay,
but it's peculiar combo, but it can happen. So it's thank goodness he's being treated. So you're going to be fine. But in the meantime, the boyfriend needs to be treated as well, and you need to find out what he's up to, what's going on here.
We have some more questions about STDs and wieners, and we also have lines open for you. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Loveline. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Oh, feels so good, doesn't it?
All right, here's a question for you. Would you listen to a podcast featuring a comedian and a magician?
Nope.
Of course not. Nobody would. That's why we locked that comedian and magician in a room with a burlesque queen.
Yes!
Because we're pretty sure even if it's awkwardly horrible, it's gonna be funny.
I'm Fraser Smith.
And I'm Jim Bentley.
And our co-host, Harper Rose.
We might take comedy seriously, folks, but we don't take ourselves too seriously.
And of course, there's nothing funnier than a good dose of low self-esteem.
We're idiots.
Yes, we are.
You see? That's funny.
This astute observation has led to laughter.
We want to invite you to laugh with us as we bring you the Fraser and Bentley podcast.
Every Wednesday, only on Podcast One. That's podcastone.com.
That would be way sexier if you could actually see her.
Bring on the fun bags.
Yeah!
Yeah, buddy. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Let's talk to Robert. Hello, Robert.
Hello. You guys are getting a lot of nudniks tonight.
A lot of nudniks. That's true. A lot of nudniks.
Well, but that last one was I'm not sure he was a...
I don't think he was a nudnik. He was panicky.
Yeah. Panicky nudnik. Okay. Yeah. What's up? You live.
Well, anyways, well, you guys Liberace?
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
What's up?
Well, I'm a truck driver, and I go to the bathroom frequently in different stalls, and my penis has a tendency of hitting the inside of the toilet.
Right.
Is it possible to get any STDs from that?
It's a very good question.
Yeah,
I think.
No. As a practical matter, no. Mm. I mean, there have been occasional weird little reports of this and that, but as a practical reality, you're going to be fine.
But I don't think that's a crazy question.
No,
if
it
you're,
isn't.
Like
no,
Robert
no.
and I are lay people, I would. If yeah. I was a truck driver and I constantly was peeing at truck stops and stuff,
I totally get it. And then certainly you want to maybe be careful and whatnot, but just it's not like very, very, very remote.
I have a jacket over my helmet, so I mean,
oh, you got the skin, yeah,
that kind of protects it, right?
Mm. Yeah, but if you let's say you, it's not going to happen, but let's say there's a herpes virus sitting there, that'll get on the jacket,
right?
So it's all right. You're gonna be all right. Yeah. It's gonna be fine.
Because I have to tuck it in all the time, and I mean, it's kind of
tuck it in.
I kind of OCD on things like that. So
yeah,
that's like one of my main worries.
It should not be. There are much more significant things to worry about.
Let's see here.
HPV.
That was my fault. Hello, JR.
Stay with the
who kills you.
Stay with the STD topics.
How you guys doing, man?
Pretty good, buddy. I just made a reference exclusively for old people.
Thank you.
My question.
People older than me.
I know.
Like, by far.
I got it.
Because the Dallas finale, I was like two.
One second, Jerry. You were two? And
I've been married for almost 2 years, okay. And my wife, we're recently going through a divorce, and she has HPV, and I was just wondering...
You have it.
We've always had it. I have it. Okay, what are the symptoms to it?
None.
And can you get rid of it?
It's not a big deal.
No, it's you get the vaccine. Well, you're a little old for the vaccine, but see if you can get the vaccine so you don't get the more serious strains of the virus, because again, it's associated with anal cancer, head and neck cancer, penile cancers. Presumably she had the type that most 20-something year olds get, that it goes away by itself after about 5 years, and that's probably what
this is.
Well,
she's 37. Well, she just turned 38, actually.
Well, again, you want to talk to the doctor about if he or she knows what strain it is, but see if you can get yourself the vaccine. That's the important thing. Whatever you have, you already have.
Okay.
Wear condoms in the future.
What is like a symptom? Like, what are they? The symptoms of the different types?
No symptoms.
You're going to be okay, dude.
Men do not get symptoms.
It just causes cancer, though?
Can. But that's why you take the vaccine, because the vaccine prevents the cancer. It's insane.
So now I just go down and take the vaccine.
Well, it's not going to be that simple. No, it won't get rid of it. It's not that simple, because you're a little old to get the vaccine, so you're going to have to struggle to find somebody to give it to you, but I suspect you will. Number one. Number two, the type of HPV you almost undoubtedly have is one that will not bother you. But again, talk to her doctor about that. Okay?
Okay. Well, it gave her problems. I mean,
it's worse for women, right?
If you like it.
Give her a lot of precancerous stuff.
Thank you, guys, man.
Hold on. Listening. Maybe it's our phone systems.
No.
She's getting a lot of precancerous stuff. Is that what's happening? Abnormal cells?
Precancerous cells.
Abnormal cells, precancerous cells, are they specifying?
I don't know what you mean by specifying.
All right. Go. Please do me a favor. Discuss this with her doctor. Talk to her doctor about what concerns you should have, if any. Okay?
Okay.
All right,
dude. Good luck.
Probably nothing.
Bye.
Hello, Andre. Are you a giant?
I wish, Mike.
What could I do for you, sir? What could we do for you? Sorry.
So, yeah. My question, you guys live, first of all.
Thank you.
So I'm 25 now, and I had a circumcision when I was like 13, and I still have some scars on my penis from it. And I wanted to know what type of doctor I should go see to get that checked out.
Urologist.
Clear it off.
Urologist.
Urologist. Okay.
Okay.
I also want to know if you think I should get the HPV vaccine if I'm 25 now.
Absolutely. 100%.
Do it.
Of course. Okay.
You can all same. Well, hopefully the same doctor can do it for you.
Hello, Will.
Hi, guys.
What up, yo?
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. So basically, I'm in a complicated thing with my ex. We worked together, and we weren't together very long. But just given her situation, you know, she wanted to figure stuff out, do things on her own. She, you know, was in a very long relationship with a previous person, and they had a kid together and all that. And I entered in the situation, and that was done with, but we moved in, and
Jesus,
pretty much, like, it went really quick, and she asked me to move out because she felt things were going too quick. She wanted to do things on her own and figure her stuff out. And then since then, we've been kind of like in a weird thing. Like, some days we're great together. Some days we're at each other's throat because I'm hurt and she's trying to figure her stuff out. But
what kind of business is it?
You know. We work in a bar.
Okay, and is either of you guys superior to the other?
No.
Yeah,
like a management position or something.
Okay. Well, that helps actually.
No, yeah. No.
Can you get out of there?
Yeah, but
I mean, where do you live, dude?
I'm in Phoenix.
Okay, I have to assume. I don't know, and I don't want to overstep my boundaries here because, listen, a job is a tough thing to come by nowadays. But is there any way you just get out of there? I mean, can you pour drinks somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, that was my plan. I had plan A and plan B. Plan A was basically like, you know, try and be supportive of what she wants to do, and like, hopefully she comes back around, because, you know,
Nah.
We were great together. It was like
I
perfect,
believe you, but if there's even the slightest bit of tension and you guys work together on a daily basis, it's not gonna get better. It's only gonna, you know, do you agree, Drew?
Yeah.
It's only gonna potentially get a lot worse. So I figure if you guys are meant for each other and you're gonna work out, you'll work out if you're working somewhere else.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because my plan also was just like, you know, go to a different city and get a fresh start, you know?
Well, not unreasonable.
Yeah. I mean, if you were thinking about that.
Why'd you go in? How long were you with this girl?
What's that?
How long were you with this girl?
How long?
How long did the relationship last?
We were together for about 4 months or so.
Yeah, I mean, why'd you go in so
don't be moving in with chicks like that.
Yeah, why'd you go in so far so deep? I mean, that you're
that's what she said.
Destroyed by this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like sometimes means just by the end. Sometimes you got to take a little dirt, but
means anything.
That was something Matthew McConaughey would say to you. Just meaningless, yeah. But you're like, that sounded good.
No.
1-800-LOVE-191. It's time for the open forum. Go ahead and give us a call on the topic tonight. And that topic this is a question for you, the listeners, is it necessary to get married now to have children?
Again, this on the heels of the gay community fighting so hard to get the privilege.
Right.
And heterosexual folks seemingly squandering it.
Not really caring. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
It is possible to establish communication instantaneously from any place at any time.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah, Film Vault.
Film Vault.
Film Vault, Anderson. People need to know. The people need to know.
They need to know.
Know this. We do a show called The Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for The Film Vault, a weekly discussion of movies new and old.
Big and tiny.
Movies you may have missed, movies you shouldn't miss, and everything in between.
Check it out every single week. The Film Vault on Podcast One.
That's O-N-E.
Party Rock is in the house tonight.
All right, everybody. It's time for you to take over the show. Tonight's topic is it necessary to get married to raise children nowadays? Our question for you in tonight's open forum.
It's time for you to give us your opinions and insight. Here's tonight's open forum.
All right, let's talk to Christina. Get us started, Christina.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, now, what's up?
Hey, I am going to give an opinion that probably most people might find unfavorable, but I think it's necessary to get married before having children.
Why would people find that unfavorable?
Yeah. I know, because I feel like...
You're talking to three married men in this room.
Yeah, throughout human history, humans have found that to be the order in which things were done.
I know, but we're also in a very progressive time where people are saying...
Listen,
you know,
I got to tell you something. I've lived through enough progressive times to tell you that whenever people say, we have figured it out, it's different now, don't listen.
Yeah.
It's always BS.
I just think that it's most important that for children to have the security of knowing that both parents are present and committed. And I'm not certain that children will feel that way if their parents don't have that on paper.
Yeah. Well, it's a how about the gay community fighting for that paper? Fighting.
Oh,
so they can have the protections of that paper.
You know, and I'm going to say that I am a Christian. And although some Christians might find it unfavorable to have this law passed, I think that I'm not sure constitutionally the government has the right to reject that.
Smarter people than you or I have made that determination. But Chelsea, how about the fact that maybe this will create a resurgence of value in marriage. Maybe the gay community has led us into a new age of understanding marriage as something worthwhile. It's not just a piece of paper. It's a series of social protections.
Yeah, there's always a reason for tradition. Tradition isn't blind.
Well, where does it come from?
Well, there's always a reason for tradition. I'm in agreement with everything you're saying, Christina.
Okay,
but I do think that there's always a reason for tradition, but that doesn't necessarily mean traditions are always good.
Right.
I mean, it's a tradition to beat your kids. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a great idea, you know?
Okay. All right. That's not a tradition I've ever heard.
No, I mean, but honestly, it is. It's traditional in most cultures to punish your children with violence.
Spare the rod.
It doesn't mean that, you know, we shouldn't think our way out of that one. Yep. But that's just one example. I mean, it's traditional for...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What's that, Christina?
That's why I initially said it might be unfavorable because not a lot of people value tradition.
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, look, it's so weird for me a lot of times with a lot of these. Thank you for the call, Christina. Our open forum tonight, is it necessary to get married to raise children nowadays? These are very tough for me, these type of open forums, because normally I'm very cut and dry. And I'm very cut and dry on this topic, but I'm very old-fashioned. I'm a very old-fashioned guy, and it's because of my insecurities, not because of the way I think.
Hmm.
Like, my left brain doesn't lead me to be old-fashioned. It's like a longing for a time that I didn't have. You know, like I dream of this utopia where things like the moral clarity's kind of there and a simpler time. And it's all meaningless because it's just a weird longing that's based in nothing.
You can't use it as a justification for anything, but you could use it as a guide for you.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Let's talk to Miles. Hello, Miles. How's kilometers?
Hey, it's Miles. So I do not think that marriage is necessary for raising children. Me and my beautiful partner, we haven't been married yet. Now that it's legal, we're so excited. And our little baby boy, he's awesome. He's super. He's just the greatest. I think hopefully we're going to raise him gay. I think he's straight right now, but
so this is a bogus call.
You know,
yeah.
You can always.
Right.
Why would you spend the time to wait on hold for this call? Like, you might as well have called and said, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That's how unclever and worthless this call is.
What?
Jesus.
Good witty comeback. Hello, DJ.
How are you guys?
Hi. What's happening, man?
Hey. So I agreed with the first caller to an extent, but I also agree with what you just said, which is that I'm not 100% rooted in my beliefs for this. I think it's definitely situational, but... like, just from my case, I think it's smarter to be married. Like, I don't think you should not be married to have kids. I think it can work, but I think, I think it's always better to be married.
All right. Always better is an opinion.
The only reason I think it is a very wise thing to do is that you have to check off one major commitment and see how that works before you go to the next ultimate commitment, which is
raising a kid.
Raising a kid is like, it's unbelievable how much that rocks you to your core. It's like, why not test, like, why not train before you fight? I don't understand. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, DJ. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Let's see. Let's talk to Connie. Hello, Connie.
Hey, guys. You live. Okay, so, no, I don't think people necessarily have to be married to have kids. I was married twice, and I had one child in each marriage. And it didn't mean anything that I had that paper. I mean, the problems were still there. The kids still see the issues. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family where my parents fought and my dad was abusive. And
why didn't you get some treatment for that before you went on and recreated all that?
Well, yeah, obviously... coming from a traditional Mexican family, that was never an option. That was never viewed upon as a problem. Yeah. I didn't start treatment until my 30s.
Okay, well, good for you. You did it.
Yeah, good for you.
Good for you, Connie.
It's actually almost more impressive.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just feel like I wasted 30 years of my life being in those dysfunctional relationships. Now I'm in a 7-year relationship, and I am, like, perfectly happy, and I wish that I would have done this, like, so much sooner.
Yeah, all right. Good for you.
Well, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
She brings up a good point. It's that the marriage doesn't necessarily guarantee any level of security.
No, it's not designed to guarantee you a healthy relationship.
No.
Not at all.
Let's see. Let's talk to Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey there.
Hey. I don't necessarily think it is I don't think it's necessary for to get through marriage to raise kids. However, like the previous caller said, I do think it is better for the child. Personally, I had a child at 21. I was married at 22. I now have two kids, and I've been with my wife for 6 years. And it has been a struggle coming from a family that was divorced. I never was taught how hard marriage is. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt that with two stable parents in kids' lives.
Do you get a sense of how important it is for your kids that you two stay together? How they perceive it?
That way, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell, right?
Yeah. And for her especially, she's had her parents married for 34 years under somewhat of the same circumstances. And I've just seen them, and they're unhappy a lot of the time. And it definitely creates a sense of confusion for me. You know, I've worked at it with her, and we still work at it every day. But I've always felt as if we've just kind of rushed into things, and it's kind of created not so much of a toxic.
Well, that's for sure. You did. You had a kid at 21. I mean, that's how you ran in a marriage. You factually did rush into things, but that doesn't make it better or worse to be married.
Mm-hmm.
You rushed it.
We did rush it, absolutely.
Yeah, it's tough.
I think for the kids, so we kind of put that, and we sacrificed that for the kids because we love them to death. We love each other.
That you're supposed to do. You're supposed to sacrifice for kids.
Yeah. I just think it would have been easier, like Mikey said, with, you know, why not train before you fight, so to speak. So.
All right. Good call. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. All right, dude.
Thank you.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number.
So when somebody says we sacrifice for the kids, like, well, you'll never believe something. We sacrifice for our kids. It's like, yeah, that's synonymous with having kids.
That's like...
sacrifice is part of the deal.
That's like when these nutty 19, 20-year-old kids, they email me and they're like, hey, do you have any job availability? I'll do anything. I'll get you coffee. They're like, oh, really? You'll do that? Of course you will.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah? You're lucky if I don't crap on your face. Why? How about that?
No.
I mean, I won't literally, but... right. Like, of course, I mean, it's like when people say stuff like that, I'm always like, you got to make a lot of, you know, I've had to make a lot of sacrifices for my kids. Oh, well, geez.
Shocking.
What, Nobel Prize for you? 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. I don't mean to say that in a judgmental sense. It's just that to me is just another reason why it's important that you like kind of figure out whether or not you like the person you're with before you put a baby in their vagina.
I can't see
vagina.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. I mean, do you feel a little uncomfortable sitting across Anderson? You know,
from Anderson?
Yeah, because all the abortions and adoptions
he's been through.
Yeah.
1-800. For the record, that's completely false.
No, well, nope. Let's do a break here. 5 each. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's time for station identification. Is it necessary to be married to raise children in the modern day? We want to hear your opinion and your experience right now on Loveline.
Time for you to give us your opinions and insight. Here's tonight's open forum.
Back at it. Let's talk to who?
What is our open forum, Drew?
Open forum is marriage necessary to raise kids? This on the heels of the gay community fighting so hard for the privilege of marriage and the heterosexual community squandering it.
Yep. Let's see. Hello, Jack.
You guys live?
You live.
Yeah, I don't know if marriage is a factor in raising, because I think it just, if you're happy, you know, if you raise a better kid. If you're not happy, whether you're married, unmarried, if you're sleeping around, you know, that's a worse situation than if you're married or not.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, I certainly appreciate the call, but it's kind of, that kind of doesn't mean anything, what you just said.
I know,
mean,
it's kind of going, I'm really trying to get it to that route, but, you know, when you, if you're with somebody, you're not married, and you, and then you realize, hey, we're pregnant. What is your first instinct? Like, hey, this is a great opportunity, or oh crap, I guess we better get married, and so we can raise this kid. You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, likely it's the latter, but sometimes it's the former. I mean, sometimes it really is. I have a very close friend who they were not married when they found out that she was pregnant, and it was just like, okay, well, let's just fast forward this little, and they're very happy, and the kid's happy, blah blah blah. But that is. You know, let's be realistic. That's not
very
common. Not common, yeah. You know. Thank you, Jack. I don't know why. I don't know why, because both communities are so typically so much more religious and so much more traditional than white people. But I don't know why Hispanics and Blacks don't value marriage and children the same way white people do.
What do you mean?
It just seems like it's more common, and at least if just, you know, by the book. I mean, I there's a lot less overall Hispanics and Blacks in the country, but it just seems like it's not as like it, there's still more stigma in the white community to get it having babies out of wedlock than
really.
I think so.
I don't know. All those teen moms we were working with were all white.
Yeah. No. You're right. Yeah. But I wonder if that wasn't a conscious choice by MTV.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
They were actively looking for, and you know, they really wanted to get some diversity in there.
Yeah.
Now that might be a function of who was willing to do it and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Mm-hmm. There is a kind of a therapeutic aspect to that show, mm-hmm. which both communities have been open about not being into. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know. I mean, you know, it just. And I'm not – stigma's never good. Stigma's not never like a positive. But there is a burden that hangs over your head in certain Anglo communities that just I don't think is there for you.
I think Hispanic,
and I speak that knowing that from my own family.
I would think Hispanic would have a deep stigma, no?
Not really.
No. Oh.
And, unless it's hidden, mm-hmm. but it's certainly not outward, you know. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Hello, Brad.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just called in to weigh in on this discussion, I guess.
Yeah, please do.
I personally don't think that that marriage is a necessary thing for raising a child. I came into it at like 22 years old, found out that my daughter was 10 months old.
Oh!
And nobody...
Whoa. What do you mean you found out? Like the woman just decided to keep it a secret and then change her mind?
Basically, and then all of a sudden she decided she wanted paychecks.
And
contacted me, and the government system came on to me like a tidal wave, looking for the money.
Oh, dude.
And, but what, you know, and I investigated it, and I was wondering how she was, treating the child herself, and, I came in and started visitations, walking in and being with the child. And I started noticing a lot of really bad stuff going on in the house involving drugs and prostitution and whatnot.
Oh my God!
But imagine. Yeah, so you left this child with that?
No. What happened was I saw this going on, and I went, "No, my blood is not going to be living in this situation."
Only
so
your jizz.
I stormed down to court as fast as I could, and I fought for a couple of years, a year or two. Straight going into court every single day.
Oh my God.
Until I got full custody. And once I got full, and I was awarded full custody at the end of this.
Wow.
And I fought and I fought and I fought and I fought and I fought. And people told me it was a miracle, mainly because I was a male, that I got full custody
right.
at all.
What's with the mom now and the child?
There used to be visitation, but then the supervised visitation that was doing it for them said that she was too dangerous, and the supervised visitation was cut off, and now it's just me and my baby girl.
Well, you're going to have to – the mom not being around is going to have a huge impact, so you got to deal with that.
Yeah, man. But God, yeah. Good on you. I mean,
Congratulations.
You know this Thanks. Guy's telling the truth because he's calling. Are you calling from California?
Yeah.
Okay. His ex baby mama mm-hmm. has to be literally that bad. Prostitution, drug, because or else they don't give guys full custody.
No, I know.
She has to truly be pimping herself out from the house.
Even then, they'll try to keep her
in front of
around.
The kids, yeah. Well, yeah, good for you, man. Stay strong.
But again, that doesn't answer the question.
No, it doesn't.
Is it necessary or better to be married?
In fact,
it's a horror story.
In fact, if he would have waited to get married before he took a condom off, he'd probably be a lot better.
Right.
Let's see here. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Mike, Drew, long time, first time.
Hey, now.
But I wanted to weigh in on this and say that I don't believe that marriage is necessary to raise kids. I was raised in a family with a traditional family, mom, dad, and my sister. And I saw the side, because they were young when they got married, young when they had me. So I saw them, like, at the early stages of their marriage, and I could tell that they were in love. And then when it got towards the end of it, I could tell it was just bitter. They were just disrespectful. They despised each other. And that's what made it suck, growing up with two parents. But for me, it's about the love and respect that you show each other. So if you aren't married before, but you still respect your kid's mother or your kid's father, and you show them that love and respect, the kid sees that.
Okay, so hold on. So you're saying what's – I want to make sure I – paraphrase this properly.
This is pie cake argument.
Well, not yeah, kind
yes, it
of.
It is
kind of because
this is what all the dumb cake people argument they make.
What you're saying is that what's necessary for kids to be happy and healthy is for them to come from a couple who stay in their relationship and are happy and healthy the whole time, right?
No. I'm not saying they have to stay together.
Well, if they love each other, if they love each other, they're
why
gonna,
wouldn't they?
Yeah, they're going to stay together.
Well, no, because my parents love each other, but they separated. They loved each other once upon a time.
I understand, but get your language right. You said what's important is that the child see them continue to love and respect each other, and two people that truly love each other are going to be together.
I mean, that's not necessarily the case. Like I've loved a past girlfriend. I'm not with her. You know, I'm not staying with her the whole time. I respect her, but it doesn't mean I have to stay with her the whole time. Like.
You're in love with her? So you're not saying in love. You're talking about some sort of
no, just,
friendship.
Just having love. You can have love for someone and not be in love with them.
And that's a friendship. So that's fine. So you're saying that a friendship has to be sustained. All right.
At the least, yeah, respect.
At the least. And would there be safeguards to protect that relationship and to make it hang together, or more likely to hang together, or give it any legal privileges?
Safeguards in what sense? Oh, legal privileges?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, but... For me, it's not necessarily that. It's just, I guess I don't know where I'm going anymore with this. But
I do think you are onto something. The most important thing for the parents of a child to provide is a loving environment and to exchange love.
That's where the child picks up how to interact with
sure.
Well, really, the child, the most else. Important thing is a safe,
safety,
environment.
Stability.
Kids perceive
so
units, families, more
anger
than they...
Anger and hatred from the parents. What's he going to project? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even if
yeah, but don't you think there can be instability that is still healthy and loving?
Yep.
And if you're constantly losing your job but you're always loving to mom and you're loving to the children and you're like,
right,
you know,
what,
I'll pull
what,
through this.
What,
yeah, like,
right.
That's
what,
unstable.
What
but
comes through to the unstable. Child needs to be a sense of stability,
mm-hmm.
right? And children perceive units. They don't necessarily even as well as they perceive relationships. They perceive being a part of a unit.
Yeah.
And when that unit falls apart, they feel like it's their fault and they feel unworthy and fractured by it. But, you know.
What age do kids start to blame themselves for stuff?
Right away.
Really?
Because
my daughter sure seems pretty narcissistic and inconsiderate.
But if so, that's because she's got everything she wants.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I just I can't see her – brain well, right now going, what have I done to deserve this? It's always like, come on!
That goes on for a while.
You know, where's my breast milk?
Primary narcissism.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. One more break of this open forum. Very interesting. We're getting a lot of good calls so far. Is it necessary to be married to raise children nowadays? We want to know right here on Loveline.
Loveline.
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hi, it's Heather McDonald. Please join me for my podcast, Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, because you know how much I love a juicy scoop. Besides talking about the hottest topics that intrigue me, I am also going to have great guests join me. Shannon Bedore on The Real Housewives of OC, telling us everything about what is going on with her life, as well as hilarious Chris Frangiola, who is my coworker and good friend from Chelsea lately. So please join us.
Yay! Download a new episode every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Yeah, man. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Let's take one more call for our open forum tonight. It is it necessary to be married to raise children in the modern day? And then we will get back to taking your calls regarding anything you want. So fill up them lines. Hello, Taylor.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Here we go.
Okay. So I don't think it's necessary for parents to be married, because my mom was previously in two other marriages with two different men, and she had my older sister and then me, and both of the marriages were awful. And then she met my, we call him my stepdad, but they're not married, and they've been together for 14 years, and he's raised us better than, you know, both of our fathers could have, and they're in the greatest relationship they have.
But once again, it's that finding a good person, being in a good relationship, I guess that's really what we're all saying, is more important than anything.
But
marriage doesn't safeguard against trouble. But and I could understand why your mom and stepdad would feel that she would jinx it by getting married, given her track record. But I bet when they get older, they will want that protection.
Well, they're both, my stepdad's 65, and then my mom's 58, so they're already pretty up there, and they don't feel like they need to get married. And
I hear that. They're grown ass people. I why go through again? They know they love each other. I get it.
And my sister want them to get married. We're like trying to push them to get married.
Have you ever said that to them?
Yeah, we have, and they're like, oh, you know, maybe when you're done with college and you both are moved out. But you know what? I don't know. Like, my stepdad was very kind of anti-relationship, and then they met each other, and they have the healthiest relationship out of any couple that I've met.
Good for them. That is a great call to end things. Thank you so much.
But listen, when they need durable power of attorney, all kind of stuff, and insurance protection,
but it does change. I mean, you can kind of feel where they're coming from as a 58 and 64-year-old, where it's like,
in a way, that's when you need it more.
You think?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know if people are, unless they went through it with their parents or something, I honestly don't know if people are aware of, like, how S can really hit the fan when people get into their elder years.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Legally. And
believe me. I have to deal with that all the time.
Yeah.
And with my patients. And it just makes me crazy that people don't plan for that.
Yeah, and I almost don't blame them. It's not one of those things you're taught in any seminar. You know what I'm saying?
Which is foolish on all of our parts.
Right. It's just like raising kids. Like, you know, it's just one of those things you got to kind of learn the hard way.
No, it's really, in my opinion, a function of the fact that we've only very recently in human history been living so long
to where
that it's really
bad.
And then we can keep you going for a long time after the S is going down. That it's only recently, the last 30, 40 years, become really important. So there's generations out there that I've never thought about this.
I asked the question on the daytime show last week when you were not there in the solo hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now that I'm here, and I know this is a little off topic, but it's on this topic. But how is it that everyone's living longer than ever?
Yeah.
And everyone's healthier internally than ever.
And we're fatter than ever.
How could we be not only fatter than ever, to the point where now the amount of obese people outweighs the amount of overweight people?
Well, there is a paradox that being obese is not as unhealthy as people make it out to be. If you become diabetic, certainly there's a problem there. And there is an added cancer risk, but it's not as bad as we're led to believe.
Sure.
And so I think a lot of it is that paradox. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I don't think it's a good thing, but it's not as bad as we think it is. You know?
Now what about like a lot of the research I've done, and a lot of it anecdotal, but a lot of it's conclusive. Yeah. I mean, where they can trace it back through experiments, long-term.
What's that?
Huge sample experiments where cultures that are underfed for prolonged periods of time end up living longer.
Yeah.
Okay. True. So,
none of it's wrong. It's all right.
Okay.
But it's not as impactful as I would think. And either you or I would think it is, just intuitively.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, Dylan.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
I know.
What's up? A long time listener, second time caller. Love you guys.
There we go.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. So, I just really want some advice. So, my girlfriend left me like last Monday, and we were friends for about 3 years, and I started having like serious feelings for her. So I asked her out, and we started dating for about 4.5 months, and then like out of the blue, blindsided me, just wanted to break up. Like, we had plans to go to like Disneyland the next day, kind of blindsided. And it was basically just because like she wasn't ready for a relationship, I guess. And she said she still wants to like remain friends. Do you think that's smart?
Well, it'd be nice, but it's going to hurt you.
I think it is nice and it's great, but why not give it some time apart first?
Right. You're going to need 6 months.
Yeah, because it did not end mutually, because I still wanted to date her, but she didn't.
Yeah, then dude, for your sake, just pretend like she's dead for the next, like, 6 months. I know it sounds crazy right now, but and you guys can end up being friends, but just for now, for your sake, because of your age and your feelings about her, just really don't do it. Don't try it. Because you'll just constantly be, even subconsciously, trying to get back in her, you know?
Yeah, I get you.
All right, dude.
Well, one more question.
Yeah.
How long do you think I should wait to, like, move on to someone else?
Oh, as fast as possible. I'm not kidding.
Well, at least start dating.
As far as dating, I mean, you're not going to land a new relationship tonight. I mean, it's just not realistic. But as far as trying to go out and meet new girls, start ASAP.
All right? All right, thanks.
And there's no downside to that. Like, even if you just meet girls and get friendly with them, it just makes you more composed and teaches you how to be a normal, non-cum-filled adult. Because right now you're a 19-year-old, and it's like I always have to give this caveat. I'm not saying this to be insulting. It's nothing you're doing wrong. Just 19-year-old men are nutty hormone balls, and
yeah. The biology, not the male.
The more you can practice being around girls and getting used to it and getting comfortable doing it, especially girls that you find attractive, like, it's just, you'll be better off. You'll be better off. There's nothing worse than those boners you see at the end of the bar. They're 42 with the affliction shirt on and the preparation H under their eyeballs. So. And it's like they just learned how to talk to a girl. So now, you know what I'm saying? Like,
or they're messing up marriages by doing that.
My point is they never got it out of their system. Now it's like, what's up, baby?
Get the poison out now.
Yeah. Get the poison out. Get the poison out.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Call us about anything you want. 1-800-LOVE-191 is that number.
Tomorrow, Dirty Head's in here.
Oh, they're coming back?
I mean, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming back.
I said they're coming back is that Jared and the boys always come.
No, listen, here's what made me stop, is I always confuse, not the bands, but the names, Dirty Head and Slightly Stupid.
Yeah. Well, and they're also in the same vein. Yeah,
we got to know them at the same time. Like, they were separated by about this many days the first time I met them. And so in my head, I just garbled it up.
And they're both big Rudy fans.
I know.
Like, both. And they both have the same management.
Especially Dirty Heads.
They both have cheese coming in with them.
And then we got a prostitute coming in later in the week?
Literally.
Yep. And then an attorney later, still in the week. And then you're taking some time off.
Same person.
No.
Dude, hold on.
What?
Stop everything.
What?
Hey, get on the microphone.
Anderson?
How'd it go, dude?
That was very
rude. Won. He won.
No, hey. No one knows that. No.
Who don't know what I'm talking about, Anderson, our engineer, is on the microphone here. He is a filmmaker and a good one, and he had a showcase of one of his first short films at the world-famous Man's Chinese Theater this past Thursday, and it's the last time we...
You know it's called the TCL now? I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
The TCL Chinese Theater.
The Man's Chinese...
I don't know what it is. I think TCL is some corporation or something. Chinese, but it was kind of a kerfuffle because it was playing at the Chinese Theater, but it also happened to be Magic Mike night.
Oh,
it was the world premiere, and it was chaos. And then there was like protesters down there because... people don't like frozen embryos or some s. So there ended up being a riot out front. It was
oh,
great.
Oh, no.
But yeah, my film played with like 8 other films and really well, and a lot of laughs. Everyone laughed at the right spots. And
good.
We find out who actually won the competition tomorrow. So
oh, there you go.
Congratulations, dude.
Thanks,
I'm glad.
Buddy.
I'm glad to hear it. And the another thing is, I can finally say this. It's confirmed. I'm going to be on the Today Show.
Yeah, awesome. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
You're going to like you'll like it.
That's nuts.
No, it should be.
No, it's not. To me, listen. I've done a lot of cool stuff in TV, but there's like certain things.
Iconic things.
Where I go, I would be a dream come true to do this. I can't do a couple of them now. One of them was I would always dream of being interviewed by David Letterman. Mm. It was a dream of mine. Like, I can imagine myself, like, I just couldn't imagine. Yeah. Another would be Stern.
Yeah.
I'd do anything to be Stern. And then, honestly, it's like Matt Lauer and Katie Couric were my vision of what, like, a TV broadcasting crew were.
Katie was great to work with, too. She was great.
So, yeah, that's going to be cool.
But Katie, but you, the crazy was you co-hosting with.
Yeah, but see, that was almost like
that
happened so quickly and so unbelievably, like in such an unorthodox fashion that it didn't even like register.
I understand, but that was more intense than what you're going to do today. Today's show, you'll have fun.
Oh yeah, no, it was more intense.
Yeah,
but it wasn't as to me like geez, I never was growing up going one of these days I'm going to fill in for Regis. But you have these pipe dreams like, what if I'm a guest on the Today Show?
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Lauer's going to comment on my suit.
There you go.
You know, like, and that's going to happen.
That will happen.
I'm going to wear a sharp suit. Let's see. Hello, Nina. Nina has a very serious question. Yeah, what's happening?
My question is, I have my younger brother. He's 2 years younger than me, and he is an alcoholic, I believe.
Wait. Hold on. Please stop. You said he's 2 years younger than you. How old is he?
He's 26.
Okay.
And he's an alcoholic. And?
And I have 3 boys living with us. Mm-mm. And I try to address him about alcoholism and tell him that he is an alcoholic. He drinks all day. And I don't know what to do no more because I have a semi-old, a 2-year-old, and a 5-month-old at home.
Oh, man. And he's living with you?
Yeah,
that's probably
he had
nice.
Nowhere else to go, and I'm
well,
his
what's
oldest
his deal? Why
sister.
Why is he in this situation? Why does he have nowhere else to go? Why is he drinking all day?
Because we live too far, he says, and all our families are really, like, bad alcoholics and drugs.
Oh,
and
man.
We're adopted, so we don't have family here.
Are you two biological siblings, though?
We're same mother, different father.
Different father, okay.
And how about the fathers of your children? Where are they?
We don't know anything about... We just know about our moms.
No.
Where are the fathers of your children?
He lives with me. Okay. With me and my husband.
All right. Why doesn't your husband help out with your brother? Like set him straight a little bit?
We try to do it, and we sat him down and talked to him about it. Mm-hmm. But he is like, he gets defensive and said, no, I know how to stop. And I'm like, no, you don't. You drink.
Hey, wait. Your brother's a veteran, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you take him to Veterans Affairs?
Is there any other members of the branch of the military he was in that can possibly come in and intervene? Because he's going to die, or he's going to kill himself or do something rash.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm afraid of because I don't have any of his phone numbers to help him out of getting, like, to get something to help me out with him.
Oh,
and, like,
man.
To any of his friends because all of them is, like, not in the state.
Okay. What about the VA?
I have no idea about it. I tried to look up his paperwork this morning before
Where do you live?
Work.
Where do you live?
Diamond Bar.
Say that again?
I said, where do you live? You said, Drew says Diamond Bar, looking at the phone screener. I think the closest to you in Diamond Bar is Westwood.
Probably.
But I might not. Yeah. That might not be true.
I think it's probably it.
Here's the thing. Nina, just Google or have you and your husband work together. Google and find out where the closest VA is.
There's that, and you're going to have to get much firmer with him. Literally, he's going to have to see a doctor, get the VA, see what resources are available there. He can't be living with you guys like this. You put him in a sober living or something.
Right.
Put him somewhere where he can get
help. I know you think you're doing him a favor by letting him live there and letting him drink all day, but
you're not.
You're only enabling him. I mean, yeah. Like, well, did he go? Did he fight in war, or did he get discharged? What happened?
He got discharged for drug abuse.
No, yeah. Oh, jeez.
He's gonna die, Nina.
And that's what I'm afraid of. And actually, at this moment, I'm on my way to pick him up from his job.
Okay.
Well, I just got out of my job.
Does the job have any leverage over him? Can they require him to get treatment? Did we lose her?
Hello? Nina?
I lost
her.
Oh,
crap.
But here's the deal. So we use whatever leverage you have. Include the VA if you can. Get him into a sober living environment. Get him out of your house. You're not helping him there.
Yeah.
He is able to drink himself to death there.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
No one else can find the trouble so quickly or repair it so economically.
Loveline is coming back. On this week's big podcast with Shaq, is Shaq a helicopter sports dad like Diddy?
In a few years, Sharif will have his opportunity to play college ball. Don't tell me that Shaq's going to end up being like Diddy. Going after a coach and going out in handcuffs at practice.
You know what? I don't believe the media most of the time.
Speculation.
However,
right.
If somebody disrespects my son, I'm going to have to also get arrested. Any form of disrespect was going on, I'd probably have to go see the coach.
Oh, man.
I'd probably have to go see the coach.
You get arrested, this show gets canceled.
Listen, I know Ray Donovan. We'll be out in 5 minutes.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcastone.com.
That's podcastone.com.
LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a call because it's Loveline and that's what we're here for. Yo. Hello, Tiffany.
Hello.
How's your lamps? Never mind.
What?
Go ahead.
Keep going.
I'm an old man.
What's up?
I'm just wondering, how do I deal with feeling in, like, my partner only feels like sex is about him getting off?
Well, then get a new partner.
Yeah, that's hard. It's hard to have you sort of put him on notice that there's somebody else here too?
What do you mean? There's somebody like
meaning you?
I feel like this way.
You've told him, and what does he say when you bring it up?
He gets defensive
and says what?
That he's never said that, or he doesn't feel that way, or...
Well, it's not what he feels or says. It's what he does.
How do you have kids?
No.
Okay, get rid of this guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Just see, he sucks. It's like if someone called up and they're like, well, how do I get used to the fact that my boyfriend punches me in the face? Just get a new boyfriend.
This isn't that bad.
That's way extreme, but...
Yeah, it is, like... Okay, if a guy's not living up to his end of the bargain in the bedroom, and he goes...
Or anywhere else.
Hold on. No. It's specifically in the bedroom, though. And you go, hey, only you have orgasms, and you're not even paying any attention to me. And he goes, I'm really sorry. You're right, honey.
Hold on.
And he says, I love you. I'm sorry. I'm just under so much stress at work, and I'll work on it. I'll do whatever I can.
Or even ignorance. Like, I didn't know. I didn't understand.
That's one thing. If you go, hey, it's all about you in the bedroom. He goes, yeah, shut up. Get a new guy. He sucks. This guy sucks very much. Life's too short to be with a useless pile.
Why would you not think that, Tiffany?
Well, I mean, I do think that and I feel that, but I mean, there's just been a long time in history, and I just thought that, like, you know, you could figure a way around that.
Tiffany,
I don't know.
So you've been beating your head against that wall for a long time, so go ahead and waste some more time. Why not? You've wasted a lot of time already. Go ahead and waste some more. Right?
Yeah. Right.
All right. So this argument that there's so much time invested is only an argument to get out. so you don't waste more time.
I hear you.
All right. Now I'm not.
Right,
I'm not now, by the way, I'm not telling you you have to get out. I'm saying my advice is you should get him to respond. But if he doesn't, then Mike's sort of opinion applies here. Okay.
All right. All right. All right.
You bet.
Thank you.
Take it easy. It's like, listen, I'm not saying just dump a guy if you're not happy.
Ooh.
But if it's that egregious, where he's like, it's all about him and he doesn't care and he's not responding. That's bad. Like, go find a new guy.
Look at
like, there's so many good guys out there.
Erica, get that one. Medical problem.
Hello, Erica.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening?
All right. So my boyfriend was fine yesterday. Wakes up this morning telling me he just feels really bad. Has a headache, body aches. He has a fever, and his penis is swollen. And I don't know how to help him or what to do. He said he'll see the doctor tomorrow, but in the meantime, I'm kind of freaking out.
Yeah, I hope that's soon enough. I mean, have you seen the offending penis?
Offending.
Yeah, it's swollen a little bit underneath like the head area, and he did have a bug bite on his leg. And he said that he thinks, I don't know, it might be connected, but I have no idea.
Okay.
Did you guys have a crazy session?
No.
Man.
I guarantee you that's not a bug bite. I guarantee you there's infection there in his leg. And I would say get help immediately. Immediately. Because sometimes these are staph infections and they can get rip-roaring, that you can get the flesh-eating bacteria. I'm not fooling around here. It'd be irresponsible of me for me to say anything other than make sure he is seen tonight. Fevers. He's fever, chilling, feels bad. He's got a wound there that's acting up.
Yeah, seriously.
It could be bad, and it can go bad fast. Now, in all likelihood, they'll be able to manage it, and he'll be okay. But I'm telling you, these things go bad.
Okay, well, I looked at his leg, and there was, like, the sign of any bug bite was completely gone, and I thoroughly investigated it.
Was he tender there still in the leg, or was there any duskiness to the skin?
No, nothing. It was completely gone.
Still, again, I who knows what that was. I mean, maybe it was a rash or something. Maybe it was meningitis. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can do this. The fact that it's so peculiar. I mean, listen, if he just had a virus and had some fever and chills, no big deal. But his penis is swollen. There's some skin stuff. There's peculiar skin changes. I don't know. I mean, it's up to you guys. But my recommendation, it'd be irresponsible of me to say anything other than be seen immediately. Okay?
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks, okay, guys.
Has he been hanging out with Lamar Odom?
Yeah, I worry about that flesh-eating bacteria.
All Lamar Odom's friends are dying of flesh-eating bacteria.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
All of his drug-using friends, like...
Oh, well. Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Like, it's crazy. If you go to, like, any of the kind of celebi websites, it's like Monday, one down. And they'll just have, like a group photo of, like, him in a club. Mm. And it's like, guy in upper left-hand corner, dead flesh-eating bacteria. Guy in the bottom right-hand corner, dead flesh-eating bacteria.
Well, there's certain varieties of strep that are prone to that. It gets into the fascia layer and boom, spreads. That's it.
Hello, Shames.
How you guys doing today? You live.
You live.
You live.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate your buddy on making a film. I know that's an extremely hard thing to accomplish.
Yes, it's not easy.
And my question was, I get a chronic hiccups for like 1 to 2 weeks at a time. And I hear that a rectal massage cures 7 out of 7 patients. And I wanted to know.
I've never heard of that.
That's true.
I've never heard of that.
If you have someone that'll do it, give it a shot. What's the downside?
But it's not like.
I mean, you know, it's just a little bit of a fear of, you know, throwing something in the backside.
No, I understand. And I've not heard that. When, you know, people get unexplained hiccups, we worry about. You know, subdiaphragmatic processes like gastritis or esophagitis, something like that. If you're a heavy drinker, that's a common way to get that. But some people are just prone to it.
1-800-LOVE-191 is our number. Please call us up if you have any questions or problems. It's Loveline.
Ask about Loveline, the craziest question.
What's the craziest question you've ever gotten on Loveline?
Back with more Loveline in a bit. All right, here's a question for you. Would you listen to a podcast featuring a comedian and a magician?
Nope.
Of course not. Nobody would. That's why we locked that comedian and magician in a room with a burlesque queen.
Yes!
Because we're pretty sure even if it's awkwardly horrible, it's gonna be funny.
I'm Fraser Smith.
And I'm Jim Bentley.
And our co-host, Harper Rose.
We might take comedy seriously, yeah, folks, but we don't take ourselves too seriously.
And of course, there's nothing funnier than a good dose of low self-esteem.
We're idiots.
Yes, we are.
You see? That's funny.
An astute observation has led to laughter.
We want to invite you to laugh with us as we bring you the Fraser and Bentley podcast.
And if that's not reason enough to listen, check this out.
Hi, I'm John Lovitz, and I'm proud to be the first guest.
Oh, man, might be a funny overload. Burlesque girl, finish it out for us.
Be sure to look for our show every Wednesday, only on Podcast One. That's podcastone.com.
Ah, that would be way sexier if you could actually see her.
Bring on the fun bags.
Yay!
Oh God! Uh-oh. Here we go. What's someone's to argue with me about food.
Oh,
hey, Drew, I thought of something the other day, and I really want to run this by you.
All right.
You know, you're one of the first people to really experience like high level. What's that alternative reality? What do they call that? You and Duncan,
yeah, the virtual reality.
Okay, and you saw like you're like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, when it's insane.
The porn gets that good.
Yeah, you won't come out of that. You'll stay
in,
there.
In 40 years, 50 years, if I'm still alive when the technology gets to the point where it's really good, where it tricks your brain, could I do a virtual reality that makes you think you're drunk? Or would it be too dangerous with my brain?
No. I don't see how you could do that because it is so much about not what's sensory input into your brain, but what's chemically input into your brain. However, you could have all kinds of crazy experiences that could be too intense that might trigger that same system.
Yeah.
And if it was associated with images of that stuff, that seems like a bad combo to me.
I can't see it like, crazy to think, from what I know of like sensory manipulation, I can't think that it would be crazy to think that they could completely replicate hallucinogens, though.
Yeah, probably.
You know, to trick your brain into thinking you're on acid.
The visual sensory experience is not a body experience.
Right.
There's so much more to that we don't understand. Yeah, sure. The answer is that, yeah, could we? Yeah, but that's a ways off.
Hello, Rochelle.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi, how you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I've been listening to you guys. I listen to you guys whenever I'm up late.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, I've been hearing you guys kind of talk about like health and stuff and a couple of things. And I don't even know if I have so much of a question, but it's kind of like, okay, where are you guys getting your information as far as like telling, you know, not like not to disagree with you guys completely, but to disagree with you. Which is a contradiction, but it's just the U.S. is kind of being tricked into believing that we're getting healthier, I think, as far as our food goes. And when I hear you guys talk about, like the other day, a guy called in and said, you know, I have a problem with weed, and you guys were talking back and forth and saying there's no, you know, like, do you guys believe that there's no such thing as a weed addiction?
Who said that?
We think there's no such thing?
You guys believe that there's a weed addiction.
No, it's not about belief. It's not a belief.
That's like saying I believe the sky's blue.
Or I believe in cancer. I
mean, No, you guys believed that, but you guys didn't believe in food addiction.
It's not. Again, you're talking about diagnostic categories, and there is a diagnostic category for one. There's not for another, but there's a model you can look at it as a food addiction.
The exact conversation we were having, the one you're talking about, I said, if someone can become truly dependent or even addicted to something that triggers reactions in the brain, what makes you not addicted to cheeseburgers?
Right,
and Drew
right.
gave me clinical explanation.
Right. It's different. But you can model it the same, and for some people, it does have similar power. But we sort of overdo the addiction model sometimes, and I just like people to be cautionary about that.
Well, I was just wondering where you guys were getting your information from, because, like, you, like, just a couple minutes ago, you guys were saying, you know...
Rochelle.
Hello.
Okay.
He's a doctor.
I practiced medicine for 30 years, 20 of them in a psychiatric hospital.
And he's an addiction medicine specialist. So when he... Where does he get his information from?
I'm just saying, like, as far as health and food goes, because, like, here we have, like, our kids are dying of... are taking on diabetes, too, like... Type 2, excuse me, I can't even talk right.
No, we said that. Listen, Rochelle.
You know, and
see, I think our phones are screwed up.
No, I just think that.
No, I think they are.
Selectively listen.
No. I think the phones are
messed
up.
My question to Drew, as a doctor, I'm not a doctor.
No, but listen,
I don't know.
But
my question was, how are we healthier and living longer, which is not arguable? We've never, human beings in America have never lived longer on average, and we have never been internally shown markers over a larger population of being healthier. From disease and things.
And yet we're more
obese.
And
I said, how is it possible that that can be true when we're also, by and large, much fatter?
And what I said was, if you have diabetes, you're in trouble. And we have lots of diabetes now, and that's a big problem.
Right. That was the first thing he said.
But generally, there's something called the obesity paradox, where the three of us, and Rochelle, you, me, and Mike, would all think, geez, obesity is just horrible. It just makes it predisposed to vascular disease and cancer and heart disease and strokes. It doesn't that much. Not as much as you would think. And that's all I was saying.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
I think
the comment that kind of got me was like where like you guys were talking about countries that are underfed living longer, where we're overfed and undernourished.
Yeah.
And we're dying quicker than, you know.
Like, well, by quicker, we're living to 88 as opposed to 86. He was talking about average life expectancies.
I'm just saying that there's these huge and conclusive scientific studies about certain cultures that have been either
Those are actually debatable.
Then they're always done by
just all the calorie
restrictive
studies
of the culture that was doing the starvation.
I've looked. There's a lot of those kinds of studies flying around. Some of them are good. Some are not so good. Probably showing something. There's something about calorie restriction, but it's not. We used to, when I was in medical school, we thought of it as a much more powerful correlation than we even do now. So, but there's something about that. Listen, all things being equal, I'd rather be calorie restricted than calorie excess.
Yeah. Hello, Wesley.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. Driving a truck, so if it's kind of noisy, I apologize.
Okay.
Hey, I got my wife and her friend, right, have this arrangement. Because my wife is disabled and she can't clean our house. She can't, you know, do a lot of things.
What's the matter with her?
And
Wesley, what's going on with her?
She has orthopedic problems. She's 50 years old. She's got 4 hip replacements, 2 knee replacements.
Jesus.
Okay, so Wesley.
Did she get hit by a truck?
No, we used to be drug addicts when we were younger.
Okay, well, I just hear pills now. So she's on pills presently, right?
She's on pills now, yeah.
Okay, well, that's why she's, let's be clear, she's disabled because of the pills. That's why she's disabled.
Well, she's still in pain, so.
Well, the pain will never get better. Yeah. I understand, but the pills are not a solution for the pain. And the pain, they perpetuate and intensify the pain.
I try to tell her that, but, you know.
Yeah. And you're clean? You're clean, Wesley?
Yeah, I'm clean, yeah.
Man,
yeah,
that's got to be really hard.
I have to drive a truck. I have to be clean, man. 80,000 pounds driving down the road, you got to be clean.
Still got to be tough with her with a
man,
cache of pills.
Man, that has got to be really tough, dude.
But my question is, she feels necessary because her friend is a pill popper, and her friend comes over and cleans our house for, you know, a pill, which keeps her from going to, like, bad neighborhoods and buying drugs and stuff. Now, I know it's not right, and I've told her to quit doing it, but she feels it's necessary for her to help her friend to help her clean our house.
The one thing I would say, Wesley, is that if her friend dies, it's not going to be cocaine or heroin. It's going to be pills.
I know that.
It's her logic.
But she gets them elsewhere too. It's just not. It's not like she only gets them from my wife.
No, I understand. But the logic I'm helping her is deeply flawed, because she's enabling her, and she's enabling her with a drug that is more likely to kill her than anything else.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how I can go about getting her to stop the Nate Wallner. You know, I've told her that she's going to die and they're going to look into her life and say, hey, well, she goes over her house all the time and, you know, and
can you call
the
cops?
My wife's in prison,
yeah.
You know, and I don't like that. I don't want that.
What, can you confront the friend?
I have, but she's a drug addict, so, you
yeah.
know. I used to be a drug addict, so
yeah.
I understand
so you get it.
Where she's coming from. Yeah. I've never been a pill popper. I was a meth head back in the 70s and 80s. But, yeah, that goes right, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, my friend, you may have to start going to Al-Anon. And
really?
Yeah, because
I never thought of that.
Because there's not a lot you can do by yourself with support of a little group. Maybe there's something you guys can come up with as you sort of share with your group, with your sponsors and whatnot. You guys will figure it out, but there's not a lot you can do by yourself. Not certainly
good
we can
luck,
do for
man.
You.
Yeah. I really, please listen to Drew. It does sound like that's your only choice. Hello, Kimberly.
Yeah, hi. I'm a first-time caller. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you.
Yeah, so basically what's going on is me and my boyfriend, you know, we got together as kids, and I'm 25 years old right now, he's 22. We got together whenever we were probably about 17, so we've been together for a while. I had a baby about a year ago, and, you know, we were doing good. We got our own apartment, everything like that, and then just things just kind of went south. I kind of started noticing, like, little things here and there, like something's going on, and I just can't put my finger on it.
Drugs?
And yeah. So I ended up going through his phone and found out that he was doing cocaine.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm, like, totally distraught. Like, I just had a baby. I can't believe this, you know. And he stopped paying for our apartment and everything, and he was making about $5,000 a month.
So get full custody. So,
yeah, get custody. And child support.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, that's my question is that, I mean... I've called the cops about, like, 3 times today, and it's just getting really annoying. And, you know, don't get me...
Kimberly, I'm really sorry, but we're at the end of the show. If you could call tomorrow, honestly, we'll devote however long you want to the call, but you should probably be talking to an attorney.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. In this crazy mix-up world that makes you think that nobody cares, we do. Be good, people.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold.
Engineered by Anderson Cowan.
Loveline.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.